I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. Victory. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. Yes, I told Satan, get thee behind. Victory today is mine. You got the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. This Holy Ghost is mine. This Holy Ghost today is mine. Yes, I told Satan, get thee behind. This Holy Ghost today is mine. What about this revelation? This revelation's mine. Revelation's mine. This revelation's mine. This revelation today is mine. Yes, I told Satan, get thee behind. This revelation is my victory. Yes, victory is mine. Victory is mine. This victory today is mine. Oh yes, I told Satan, get thee behind. This victory today is mine. One more time. Yes, this victory is mine. Victory. Get thee behind. This victory today is mine. One more time. Yes, this victory is mine. Victory is mine. This victory today is mine. Oh no, I told Satan, yes, get thee behind. This victory today is mine. Yes, victory is mine. Victory is mine. This victory today is mine. Oh no, I told Satan, get thee behind. This victory today is mine. God bless you. You may be seated. It is good to be in the house tonight.
Amen.
We got a double portion. Brother Covey's just feeding us. God bless you, Brother Covey. Oh my goodness. Let's sing a song real quick. Something that Brother Covey didn't get a chance to sing the last time he came. So I wanted to go ahead and sing song 94 out of the Only Believe. Okay. That meeting in the air.
Yeah.
I can't stop thinking about that meeting in the air.
Amen.
I don't even want to use my own thinking about that. I just want God to just reveal it to me. I know how to not get ahead of my God. And to get ahead of the leadership here. No. Stay astride, right stride. You'll be okay. You have heard of little Moses and the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling. Told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah and the fish you often see. Well, there's many, many others in that Bible. I would like to meet them all, I do declare. By There's going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Well, I'm going to meet you, yes, meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. So singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ears, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Oh, well, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. I am going to meet you, yes, meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. So singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ears, 'twill be glorious, I do declare. And God's own Son will be the leading one in that meeting in the air. Well, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in that sweet, sweet by and by. Yes, I'm going to meet you, yes, meet you over there, in that home beyond the sky. Such singing we will hear, never heard by mortal ears, to be glorious, I do declare.
Amen.
Let me get these announcements.
I was thinking about some things. Always gets me in trouble, but I think a lot.
Amen.
You know, this revelation just rolls and rolls and rolls. And I was thinking about, you know, God's own Son to be the leading one. You know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about my older brother.
Yeah.
That's right.
He's the first partaker of the fruit. Yes, we'll join heirs with him.
First of many.
From the Father.
Yeah.
Amen. You know? And sometimes I look at things and I just consider things, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to try to tell me to be a better Christian, you'd be like back there walking up to Jesus and say, well, you could be a better Christian. You know, and you think that's ridiculous. Well, yeah, it is. Just as ridiculous today.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus fulfilled the word of God for his day.
Right.
You know, that's what pleased the Father. I fulfill the word of God for my day.
Amen.
That's what pleases the Father.
Yeah.
Jesus had his ups and downs.
Oh, my God.
He groaned in the spirit. He wanted that cup to pass from him.
Yeah.
He cried at Lazarus' grave.
Yeah.
He wasn't all peaches and roses. He felt the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He was tempted in every way like passion as we.
That's right.
But yet without sin. And I'm tempted in every way like passion he was,
mm-hmm.
yet without sin.
Amen.
Oh, my.
I passed from death into life.
My.
I'm so thankful to know that.
Yes.
I'm so thankful to know that. You know, and just looking at things and how that, you know, you almost, me, anyway, I'll just talk about me. I used to think this bride, oh, she's sealed away. Right. Devil can't touch her.
Right.
Well, I'm sealed away. The devil can't touch me.
Amen. Tied to that.
This revelation, recognize who I am in this day.
Oh, my.
Made me part of that.
Amen.
You know, and I was even thinking, you know, well, we, you know, maybe we fit in the Laodicean age. No. Time I was woke up, realized who I was, there was no Laodicean age.
Right.
It was one body.
Amen.
Middle wall partition broke down.
Right.
I became a part of that sealed, sinless, perfect, can't add to, can't take away from body of Christ. And that's my rest.
Yes.
That's my rest. Come what may. And I got up. Sometimes I groan in the spirit too. Sometimes I say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But nonetheless, I'm fulfilling the word of God.
Yes.
It's Christ that liveth in me. No more I.
Right.
Christ that liveth in me.
Amen.
You know, sometimes I think we emphasize too much on the flesh. Mm. All my problems. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen, like the Lord said Sunday. But I'm resting.
Amen.
I'm on top of it. I'm so thankful for that.
Amen.
Any other day I'd want to live in? No,
right.
This day right here. This understanding, this rest, no matter what the devil might bring, whatever he throws at me ain't going to stick.
No. Right.
And he'll throw everything at you. You might as well get used to that.
Right.
But it none sticks.
Amen.
None sticks. I was thinking the other day about, you know, it's like you're playing a game of Monopoly with him, you know, and he's got Boardwalk and Park Place, and he's got three hotels and four houses on each one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And lo and behold, you land on it.
Yeah.
I got you. You're bankrupt. I got you. And you just throw it at him and say, it's just a game. It's
Amen.
Just play money. You don't have nothing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless this place. Let me get the announcements out of the way. Oh. Okay. So we got the Christmas Eve service. No Bible study that night, I believe.
Nope.
Mm. Amen. Cutting me short here. But then we've got the New Year's Eve service, dinner at 6, service at 8, and we're having song practice tomorrow, Thursday.
Okay. So next Thursday is song practice with kids again.
Okay.
Tomorrow there's song practice.
Okay. So tomorrow, adults, song practice. And then next week, Thursday, song practice for the kids. And that is... The Christmas service. I've whoever's texted me, I've got your list. So I'm gonna kind of consolidate everybody because there's only so many songs you can sing. So you're gonna have to buddy up, you know, like how they used to do in school. You know, they used to put you with a partner you don't even know, and you'll be in the same class and you don't even know each other's name. You know, there you'll be with her. Oh, I don't like her. She smells, or he looks funny, and. You know, we got the same thing going on in here, you know. So just whoever I partner you with, you'll be happy and you'll be blessed.
Amen.
Amen. So right. let's go ahead and sing another song, and then we'll get Brother Covey up.
Amen.
Song 35 out of the Only Believe, Love Lifted Me.
Yes, it did.
It's the only thing that lifts me up, is love. Good to be here. I was sinking deep within.
Amen.
I was sinking deep within, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, oh yes, love lifted me. Me when nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Oh, yes, love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. All my heart to him I give, ever to him I
I cling. In his blessed presence live, ever his praises sing. Love so mighty and so true merits my soul's best songs. Faithful, loving service to him belong, because love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else would help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love, oh yes, love lifted me.
Souls in danger.
Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love out of the angry waves. He's the master of the sea. Billows his will obey. He's your savior, wants to love lifted me. Love lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. Yes, love lifted me. Love lifted me. God bless you. You may be seated.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
All right.
I was thinking you better look familiar to me. I tell you. Boy, there's so much going on, so much you can say. And those songs that you sang, love lifted me. And I think about the words of the songs for the Christians. Souls in danger, look above. Jesus completely saves. You know, you have heard of little Moses in the bulrush. You've heard of fearless David in a sling. You've heard the stories told of dreaming Joseph and of Jonah in the well you often sing. And there are many, many others. Many, many others. And all these songs. And I was thinking how God, even in music, gives us the truth. But Satan lies to us. And when you sang that song, Love Lifted Me, let me read you the lyrics to a song that's not love in the way we see it. But this is a song that, and we're not even going to talk about the terrible music of today. Let's go back 50 years. How about that? And let's see, oh, nothing could be terrible in the 50s and the 60s. Okay, but this is a song I used to sing all the time. And I thought, wow, this sounds great. I mean, but when I was a child, I spake and understood as a child. I didn't read the lyrics. I didn't read the lyrics. And I'm telling you, after you hear the words of this song, you guys will be like, the older ones like me, you'd be like, oh, I didn't know it said that. But the song Love Lifted Me. Now, there was a song written back in the 60s, and it was called Love Me. Okay, Love Me. And you're thinking, love. And Elvis made this song popular, okay? And the words to it, now, this is supposed to be a song between two people that loved each other, a boy and a girl. And the words to it was this: treat me like a fool. Treat me mean and cruel. Oh, but love me. Break my faithful heart. Tear it all apart. Oh, yeah, but love me.
Amen.
And it says, yeah, tear it all apart, but love me. Well, if you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely. I'll be sad and blue crying over you. Now, you're sad and blue crying over someone that just treated you like a fool and mean and cruel. Oh, yeah, but love me. I'll be sad and blue crying over you, dear only. I would beg and steal just to feel your heart beating close to mine. Well, if you ever go, darling, I'll be oh so lonely, begging on my knees. All I ask is please, please love me. How mixed up is that? I mean, and I was singing it. I'd go around my car, treat me like a fool. And I'm thinking, this sounds so great. But I woke up. A man turned on the light and showed me these lyrics. And after the same man that turned on the light for me on the secular worldly music, he turned on the lyrics of, he reached down his hand way down for me. And then I can believe the words of a truth teller, but I can't believe the words of a liar. Amen. And I tell you, and again, Elvis selling his birthright, he had a gift. Gifts and callings are. So I'm telling you, even the people out there that God give them a gift, they just use it for the wrong thing. And if you think of it this way too, everybody was talking about this in the van about people going to hell and things, and every person that's in hell, do you know that their sins were paid for? They were paid for, their sins. They just didn't accept the payment. They didn't accept the payment. I accept the payment. Oh, my gosh. Hey, listen, like in the court sometimes, they might scream out in the audience, are you going to let them off scot-free? I got off scot-free. I did. I did the crime, and God did the time on the cross for me. No, that don't sound right, but I'll accept it. Because he kept his word. Love is that a brother, you would lay down your life for your brother. He laid down his life for us. Oh, man. There's a fellow I was telling you guys about that called me a few weeks ago on a Sunday morning, and he was crying and things and really depression and things, and his daughter had, you know, took her own life at 15 and things. And so he's been going to church with me. This coming Sunday's going to be 3 weeks. And so anyway, Sunday morning, he saw what a service it was. And at the end of the service, the pastor pulls out of his pocket a couple prayer cloths. And he explained, yeah, I was wearing these prayer cloths for some people that really needed prayer, and that, you know, this works. And so he called me yesterday, and he said, hey, you're going to have an evangelist preach in there Wednesday night there in Fairborn. He couldn't make it because he's got to work. He said, but would you have that preacher wear this prayer cloth? And would you have that church pray? Now, listen, he believes this a worker. He wouldn't ask me. He wouldn't ask me. So if you can remind me at the end of the service, we're going to have you wear this, and then we'll, all us brothers, we'll pray, and we'll all pray in our own way that there's nothing in this that will help him, but it's what it represents. Amen. And right. What it represents will help him. Amen. It'll do anything for him. Amen. So anyway, I wherever that track got us off to, but I'm telling you, it sure blessed me.
Amen.
And but yeah, don't be sad and blue, and don't beg anybody to love you. You know, just accept people. Love is just being kind and just doing what you can for people, you know? And the greatest love that we can give somebody is to bring them to salvation, you know? And that way we can love them for eternity, not just here on this earth. So, well, anyway, I'm looking forward to tonight. It's always good to have Brother Alex. And No, don't take this wrong. I really like Brother Alex, and this is, don't want it to puff you up, brother, but out of all the preachers I've had come here, Brother Alex was my first choice. He preached the first service here, and it was just a true, true blessing. Amen. That night. Amen. And it just kind of sparked a little inferno, yes. I guess. And so anyway, we're going to give him some liberty tonight. And there was a song we were talking earlier in the kitchen, and you said, I like some of them old gospel songs. And was it When He Reached Down His Hand? Was that it? That song, When He Reached Down His Hand, I think I have it here in a book somewhere. Anybody know what that is? When He Reached 133, I think it is, it says here. He's got an arm long enough to reach you no matter how far you go. From the east to the west. And sometimes they say, when He reached way down for me, I wasn't really too bad or too low, you know, but I was low enough to feel the flames. I'll tell you that. Okay, here we go. One more page. We'll just sing it. Brother Alex, we get toward the end of the song, you just work your way up. Yeah. Once my soul was astray, no longer the truth. It's not astray no more. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched.
Since the Lord gave me peace. Oh, since the Lord, He gave me peace. Heavenly joys never cease. Oh, Lord, I give all my life unto Thee. Oh, guide my feet. With Thee I may stand, for You reached down Your hand for me. Oh yes. Oh, when He reached down His hand for me. Oh, when He reached way down for me. Oh yes. Oh, I was lost and undone without God or His. his son when he reached down his hand for me. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. You ever been there before? Amen. Listen, that's why we appreciate his grace, because we know what it's like to be buried beneath a load of guilt and shame. Amen. Amen. Brother Bram said, I think that's why we'll enjoy heaven so much, because we lived on earth once. Amen. You'll be able to look back 10,000 years from now. You ever been to earth? Yeah, once. That was enough for me. That's about how I feel about it tonight, amen? So we're just so happy to be partakers of the heavenly blessing tonight, to be gathered together with you, and we just want to greet you once more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kind of privileged to be with you. You know, Brother Eric was talking about that light. We're going to be talking about the light tonight, amen? What is the light? The prophet said when the truth is vindicated, it becomes light. God said, let there be light, and it might have been a million years. It might have been 5 minutes. I don't know. But when the light came, it was vindicated. And God has always vindicated his word the same way. So we're going to walk in the light. Amen. We're not just going to talk about the light. We're going to walk in the light tonight as he is in the light. He is the light. And we are now the light of the world. Well, I could sit there and just talk about that all night. Amen. But we're going to bow our heads for a word of prayer. And then we'll look into the scripture this evening. So we just invite you now to bow your heads with me as we speak to the author of this word. Heavenly Father, we are a most privileged people. I think of the disciples that walked with our Lord Jesus on the shores of Galilee. Their eyes beheld things that kings and prophets had desired to see. They longed to see that day. How they would have loved to have lived and been in that day, Lord. And we stand here at the end of all things now. The very ends of the world have come upon us, Lord. And we could look back, as many do, and have regrets and wish that we lived in another day. But we are truly seeing once again things that kings and prophets desire to see. That holy men, they search the scriptures wondering what things, what manner of time it would be. And we are beneficiaries tonight of a resurrection. Yes. We have passed from death unto life. You've given us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive this word of God. We're not here tonight to bring forth just 30-fold or even 60-fold. We're here to bring forth 100-fold tonight for the glory of God. You have planted us as a tree by the rivers of water. Our leaf doesn't wither tonight. We're not wearing out. We're not fading away. We're rising up tonight. We're stronger tonight than we've ever been before. It's by your grace, Lord. And we just ask that you come bless the reading of this word. Have your way in this place, Lord. May you lift up those that are down. May you give a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness tonight. We glorify you in all things, Lord. May you just be glorified in this place. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor now, for we ask it all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the bride says, amen. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 2 tonight. A little bit of a lengthy reading, but fear not. After I'm done reading it, you can be seated while I remain standing for the next 3 hours or 45 minutes or whatever it is. Matthew chapter 2. I guess 'tis the season, however you want to look at that. It's funny because we will talk about the Magi here, the wise men that visit. Of course, you see the nativities and the wise men, they gather and this and that. But we know, of course, by the Bible and by the message that they didn't even show up for a couple of years. But it is interesting as we look at this tonight. And I just pray it would be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 2, we'll just start in the first verse. And it says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Notice they didn't see the star to worship the star. They saw the star to come worship the one it was pointing them to. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. So we are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled. And all Jerusalem with him, all them religious people, the most holy people, they were all shook up. You know. Sorry, I had to piggyback in there a little bit. Praise the Lord. Well, we're good now tonight. They were troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule that my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now remember, he inquires the time, and this will come back in a minute here. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Now, of course, he's lying, but he says, you know what? He's supposed to be in Bethlehem, so go look for him there. But you notice they didn't have to follow his instruction, because notice as soon as they leave, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody ought to get happy tonight. Amen. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And then, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Notice that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of our Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof. Notice, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So they've been doing this for 2 years. That's how he gets this 2 years. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted because they are not. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated tonight. I'd like to speak on my thought tonight, why it had to be Magi. Amen. Now, Brother Bram preaches some different sermons around this same season, and he preaches one called Why Little Bethlehem. So the question is, why Bethlehem of all places? Bethlehem wasn't Jerusalem. It wasn't some great-looking place, but we know that God chose Bethlehem as the birthplace of Christ. As the scriptures foretold, the very name Bethlehem means the house of God's bread. Amen. So it speaks of its purpose, Christ being the true bread which descended out of heaven. So God's a pretty good storyteller. I can say that for my own life. The story he's got for me was a lot better than the one I was writing for myself. Amen. God knows how, he doesn't need a continuity editor or a lore guy to keep his stuff straight. He knows exactly what he's doing from the beginning to the end. Amen. He doesn't need a team of managers to make sure he stays in the continuity. He's got to retcon something later. He's got it all lined up from the very beginning to the end. Amen. And we see that even the son of David, Christ, the son of David, David and his lineage, they come out of Bethlehem according to the scripture, even clear back from the time of Boaz and Ruth. We see God foretelling these things. Amen. And so we would have thought perhaps men would have looked and seen God. Here's Christ being born in a manger in Bethlehem, and we might have thought that he should have been born in Jerusalem in a palace or a kingdom or some great thing. And it's interesting to me, we look at the scripture tonight, it's the wisdom of God. The foolishness of God is even greater than the wisdom of man. And we can sit here and think about how great it would have been if Christ had been born in some great estate in like Jerusalem. But if you think about it, his life would have been in danger because Herod sought to kill him. So God puts him in an out-of-the-way place. Amen. Amen. You might look at the church you're in tonight. You might look at your own life, your own circumstances, and say, if this is the greatest message, the greatest gospel, the greatest thing that's ever been preached, if we're the greatest generation that's ever lived on the face of the earth, why is it so unknown? Why are we so overlooked by the world? But it's the grace of God. God has hidden you from the eyes of the wise and prudent. It's not a public show tonight, but it's for an elected group to see it. God's preserving your life. Listen, we live in a day and a generation. You can look at social media. You can look at propaganda. And listen, the tallest tree, it's always the first to fall. You see where I'm coming tonight, amen? If we were on everybody's radar, we would be in an existential danger. But God has chosen, amen, to keep us in the cleft of the rock tonight. Because God's preserving a group of people for a rapture. We're not here to take over Congress through political means. We're not here tonight to fulfill some sort of vacancy somewhere in politics. God has destined us to rule and reign on the earth with Christ, not in this life, but in the world to come.
Yes!
And let me just preach to you real quick in case you think I'm off my rocker. Even now, we do have spiritual dominion. We are ordained to reign not just in this the life to come, but the scripture says in this life.
Amen.
So we do have dominion through Christ over the power of death and hell and the grave, but we're going to rule and reign on the earth.
Amen.
The meek shall inherit the earth. Amen.
Amen.
So God knows what he's doing. Amen. Why would he put him in Bethlehem? Why would he put him in such an out of the way place? Because he knows how to preserve his seed.
Right.
He knows how to bring his promises to pass. Amen?
Amen.
So that's why he chose little Bethlehem.
Right.
Amen. God doesn't just hide things to be difficult or to be cute. Like, let's see what I did there. He's got a purpose in everything that he does. Amen. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 2, if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Amen. So they didn't know. God hid it from them to bring his word to pass. Amen. So if you feel unrecognized, you feel unimportant tonight, remember, that's what the world says about you. That's not what the king says about you. That's not what the word declares about you. Your name might never be in the newspaper or on a marquee somewhere in some movie theater, but your name's in glory. It was wrote down there before the foundation of the world. I'd rather have it there than anywhere else. Why, little Bethlehem? Brother Bram preaches one time, why it had to be shepherds. Why? Was it shepherds? Why did it show up? Bishops and theologians, because they would have taken the word when they showed up and they would have used it for their own end. That's what religion does today. It'll take this word, it'll change it, it'll enslave it, it'll pervert it, it'll crucify it to make money, to make their own end, to promote their own platform. But these shepherds, Brother Bam said, listen, they're just humble shepherds. They knew how to take care of a lamb. They knew how to care for it. They weren't trying to add their own idea. They had no idea of their own to add.
Amen.
Listen, we're here tonight. We've got no idea of our own. We've got the mind of Christ.
Amen.
This bride has the mind of Christ, and she knows what he wants done with it.
Amen.
The shepherd knows how to take care of the lamb. Brother Bram says they were the only kind that would accept him. A shepherd was the only thing that would accept a lamb. They knowed how to take care of it. And so it is today when we get the lamb's message.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Right.
So we're so blessed to know why it had to be little Bethlehem, why it had to be shepherds. But, you know, you read this story, and of course, like I said earlier, the nominal thought is so different from the word anyway, about these wise men that come from the Orient. And, you know, I was just studying this here a while back, and I thought, you know, why did it have to be Magi? He answers all these other questions. But why wise men from Persia? Why these Magi? And so, of course, that's where my title come from.
Right.
Praise the Lord. They seem so out of place in this narrative. You've got a Jewish Messiah, a Jewish nation, a Jewish capital, a Jewish promise, a Jewish covenant, and then a bunch of heathens that come out of nowhere.
Amen.
They literally walk in out of nowhere like, hey, where is he that's born king of the Jews? Because they expected the Jews would know where their own king is, and they had no idea. They were confused, and they were confused. Like, we're confused what you're talking about. The Magi, you're like, we're confused that you're confused. How do you not know where he's at?
Amen.
This is your king.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? They just kind of show up.
Amen.
Nobody's looking for them. They weren't rolling out the red carpet. Oh, a bunch of guys traveled 2 years to get to us.
Amen.
So what's the significance of their timely appearance? And it's interesting. I'm going to read a quote here in a little bit. Brother Bram talks about there's no history about this star. And for context, because I looked at the history, Brother Bram's talking about there's no history of it in Israel showing up. Well, that's because it didn't show up there. But they followed it for 2 years. And so you look at, and this is just for your, this is free, I guess, but you look at Josephus and the Antiquities. You look at different Roman historians, and this is a whole 30 minutes. I'm just going to skip for the sake of time tonight. But there's this whole idea, even on the earth, at the time that there this oracle, they call it, or the star appeared, there's records of it, that this actually happened in these other countries, and they were looking for it. And there was this expectation in the Orient and Persia at this time that this great ruler was going to appear on the earth. Now, they thought it might be an emperor in Rome, or they thought it might be this person or that, but we know who it is. Amen. We know who it is because the scripture declares it to us. Amen.
Right.
These historians themselves, they all had different opinions about who they thought it would be in their own commentary, but we have the divine commentary.
Yeah.
Amen. So it's noteworthy, and this is why this is so significant, these magi, why it's so remarkable to me, because even the Jews, when these magi show up, they ask the question, where is he? They all know where Christ was going to be born. They knew about, like, what he was going to be like. They had prophecy about his nature. You know, he wouldn't bruise quench a smoking flax. He wouldn't bruise a reed. He wouldn't do all these things. They had all this knowledge about who the Messiah was supposed to be and where he was supposed to appear, but they had no idea what.
Amen.
And then they knew everything, but they couldn't recognize their own day in its message. They couldn't recognize the season they were living in. But yet these heathens, these Persians, they understood it. And how did they understand it? Brother Bram explains to us, and you can look at the history of it. When the prophet Daniel was in, when he was in Babylon, amen, he prophesied that there would be 70 weeks, according to Jeremiah. He took that up and said there's 70 weeks determined upon this people, amen. And so you can count, it's 490 years. They understood. Now these Persians, they had no idea where they were supposed to go. They had no idea what to look for, but they knew it was going to be a great ruler. But they knew something the Jews didn't know. They were the only ones that knew when.
Amen.
They were the only ones that understood the time that they were living in. Amen. So praise the Lord. So they get there and they inquire about this place. Of course, I read the scripture. It quotes Micah chapter 5 is what it is. It says, "Thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting." This is not a Roman emperor. This is not just some other guy. This is he whose goings forth have been from old, even from everlasting. And I love how Brother Bam says it. The reason these Persians, these magi, the reason they saw the star and nobody else saw the star, they were expecting it in the first place. They were expecting that it was about the time they knew by the words of Daniel. This is about the time he's supposed to show up. And so they had an expectation. Amen. So when this light appears, they knew what it was about. Others looked at it and said, well, it's just a light. It's just a noise. It's just another preacher. It's just another teaching evangelist or another healing meeting. But these guys were looking for something in particular. That's why they recognized it. I love how Brother Rim talks about these men like the watchmen. They were trained to tell the time by the stars, by the positions of all these things. They could understand the seasons and the times. Amen. So you think about it, they look at these signs in the heaven to know the hour they're living in. Can I just take my liberty for a second? Listen, Martin Luther didn't know the day that he lived in. He knew he was born for a season. He knew what he was supposed to do, but he didn't recognize his position in the timeline of God. Wesley didn't know his position in the timeline of God, but we had one come in this generation. He took them seven stars, and he told you when they were and what they were about, and he positioned them according to the word. Like these magi, he recognized the hour that we're in. We recognize by the word of the Lord the hour that we're living in. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just think, Christ is born. He's laying in a manger, and these angels, they show up, and they're speaking to all these shepherds. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. One of the greatest events, maybe the greatest event ever. And yet Israel itself is largely ignorant that it's going on. Doesn't even know what's going on.
Amen.
Amen. They have no idea tonight what's going on right here.
Yes.
They've got no idea what's going on in your life tonight. Amen. You can walk by coworkers. You can walk by family. And they see something's different about you, but they just think you're a fanatic. They just think you're a holy roller. They don't recognize what's going on. Yeah, thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
When Israel is completely ignorant, thousands of miles away, there were some guys who looked up and said, that's what we were waiting on.
Amen.
And they saddle up and they get their gifts and they start off on their journey. Brother Ram says this. They knowed the scriptures. Daniel was their chief. They knowed. Second chapter, Daniel tells us he was made chief over them. He taught them, no doubt, one night just sitting there reading the scriptures about it. And Daniel said he beheld all these kingdoms till finally come unto what was each Medes and Persians on down till it come into Rome. Then finally he saw a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. And they said it must be about that time. They remember the rehearsal way back there, back in the days of the journey of Israel when they come up and heard Balaam. When he's seen Israel, now think about this, Balaam clear back there, said there will arise a star out of Jacob. Amen. It must have been about that time when they was thinking about those things that a new visitor appeared. Now, let me just lay my foundation here for a second. You know, these magi, they travel at great distance and risk, and they're not going empty-handed. Amen? It'd be one thing they're just riding around, but they pack these very valuable gifts, and they travel very long distance with these things. Amen? They bring these gifts unto Jesus, the Messiah. And I love how Brother Ram talks about it, because these gifts show, he says, that they were inspired by God, because their gifts testify of who they were bringing it to. It wasn't just a gift card to Lowe's or, you know, something, you know, a big gulp, free big gulp. Their gifts were inspired to testify about the one they were bringing them to. Amen. But the man talks about gold. It speaks of his deity, Christ's deity. Christ is not just a man, but it's deity in a human body. Amen. Frankincense, his offering of service to Jehovah, speaks of his priestly service. Amen. We can go through all these scriptures, but you can go back and look it up if you want. But he talks about back in the book of Leviticus, they used the frankincense for the anointing oil for the priesthood. And then Murray said it was an anointing. It's for death or embalming. Amen. Brother Bam says this, and God's gifts always find their places. He says, I say that to us today. These things that we bring to him identifies what our thoughts is about him. He says, you understand what I mean? If you believe it with all your heart, we got anybody here tonight? If you believe with all your heart every word of that, you'll identify it by giving all that you have to it.
Amen.
In other words, we can say as Paul, if we reckon that he died for us, we should all live unto him. And man, it wasn't just a good man. It was God himself came down and paid the price for us. If we recognize that, it will change our offering to him. We're not going to be half-hearted about it. We're not going to be wishy-washy about it. We're going to give everything because we recognize the one that gave everything for us.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, yes, that's good.
He said... We're going to break it down just a little bit here. Amen. He says, see, if you believe it's just a good place to associate with better people around church and things like that, that's just about what you'll give. Just a few social hours with some congregation or something. But if you really believe it with all your heart, then you give everything that's in you to it, and it identifies you that you truly believe the message, that you believe it to be the truth.
Amen.
So see, we identify with it by what we give to it. Amen. My. Why did they have that thought? Brother Bam says they were inspired. He says, look at these beautiful gifts, how they fit into Christ. See, gold speaking of his deity. He says, they wasn't heathens. They was inspired by God. They wasn't imagining something. That proves right there, even the magi, that they did see the supernatural. Listen, these people had no promise of seeing the supernatural, but they saw it because of their expectation. They saw it because of their desire. And if they could see it without a promise from God, they could still see it. What about you and I tonight? We've got a better covenant with better promises than Israel had. We have promises tonight. How much more can we see the supernatural God work in our midst tonight? Praise the Lord, somebody. Their own gift they offered, identified, and spoke of their testimony. They did see the supernatural light. Gold, they brought frankincense, service, brought myrrh for his death. When he was a baby, showing that deity would be put to death in the flesh, that it might redeem fallen man. Now I come back to the question at hand tonight then. But why magi? Why not anybody else? Why would God take a bunch of people from outside the Holy Land, outside of Abraham's lineage? I'll tell you why. We actually read it already. To fulfill the scripture. Why did he let him go in Egypt? To fulfill the scripture. Why did he let Herod kill these children? To fulfill the scripture. He chose a certain people because he knew they were the only ones that could fulfill that scripture. In other words, the people that were in Israel, in Jerusalem, could not fulfill that word. So he had to go find somebody thousands of miles away, 2 years away, that would believe it and act accordingly and be inspired to do what he said.
Amen.
My, my.
Amen.
Think about it. Because these wise men visited, Herod brought upon this affliction. He brought this affliction about. He wasn't just going to go kill a bunch of children, but because of their visit, he was inspired. That was an evil thing that inspired him, but yet it brought to pass what God had prophesied would happen. Amen? So these men were inspired in their visitation. They're inspired in their gifts. In so much that even these events, though they're tragic, though they're a bad thing that happened, it was done to fulfill the scripture. Amen?
Amen.
They seem like, if I could say it this way tonight, unlikely candidates to be used by God to this religious people. Amen? Yet when the religious people missed it, and they were even the ones that eventually conspired to kill our Lord, yet these guys, when they traveled, they traveled 2 years not to find a phony, not to find fault, not to criticize and say, well, this is the carpenter's son. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They come for 2 years and say, where is he that's born king of the Jews? They had an expectation to find a ruler. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Brother Bram says, in watching his star, someone might think that those magi would not have been a privileged people to have seen this. But if you're reading the book of Acts, Peter said that he perceived that God was no respecter of person. He would visit those or accept those, receive those of any nation that feared him and worked righteousness.
Amen.
God is no respecter of person. He said, then someone must have seen that heavenly visitor and said, wonder what this means. They couldn't understand why these magi people don't understand today.
Right.
Amen. Here's where we're at today. Amen. They don't. He said, did you know those magi saw the star? It passed over observatories. We don't have any history of anybody else seeing it. Why? They wasn't looking for it. Now, I could make a whole other sermon out about this, but that's our human nature, amen? You know, they teach this thing in the military. When you're scanning like a field of view, they say you should always look right to left. And the reason is because you read left to right. And so when you look left to right, you just overlook things like you're reading. You have to train yourself to look at things differently or you miss things. That's our human nature. We're so busy looking for something, we miss what's right in front of us. Amen. These men in Israel didn't see it because they had no reason to look for it.
Right.
And it went right over them. Think about this. The star moves right over them and they've got no idea.
Yeah. Wow.
Man. He says, I believe they saw the star, the magi. The Bible said they saw it. That's the reason today. That people don't see the things they should see. The mysteries of God being unfolded. They're not looking for it. God only reveals himself to those who will let him and expecting him.
Amen.
What's your expectation look like tonight? Amen?
Amen.
Let me challenge you tonight. Well, I've got an expectation. You come in here. Say, I've got an expectation. God can do exceeding abundantly above whatever you could ask or think. Amen?
Amen.
I don't believe in a God that just meets expectations. I believe in a God that exceeds expectations. He is more than able tonight. To save your family. He's more than able tonight to heal the sick. He's more than able tonight to change your circumstances.
Amen.
I don't care how bad it looks. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. We have seen his star.
Yeah.
We've not come to cry. We've not come to give up. We've come to rejoice.
Amen.
We've come to worship him. We know he's able tonight.
Amen.
I think of the Apostle Paul. By his own testimony, a man born out of season. He was a blasphemer and a persecutor of the church, but he did it ignorantly. But there was something in that man, the chief of sinners, yet there was something in that man. He desired to serve God, and one day a light struck him down on the road to Damascus. Brother Bram said the same light that struck Paul down on the road to Damascus, that was the same light that Magi saw.
Amen,
I'm going somewhere now. Not a different light, not a different second or third light. The same light that met the men was the same light that met Paul.
Amen.
So he's born out of season. In other words, he wasn't there for all these things, but yet the same light, and when his hour come, led him to the same thing. Amen? So you and I, we are represented in these magi. Amen? Listen, I wasn't there physically when Jesus was born. I wasn't a witness to the original nativity. I'm not an ethnic Hebrew. But you and I, like these magi, we were looking for something. We didn't just come 2,000 miles. We come 2,000 years down the stream of time. But we have arrived. Praise God, I can testify tonight. At the end of 2023, I'm not looking for him. I have arrived. I have found him that was born King of the Jews. I didn't find him in a manger over in Israel, but I found him in the Word. He was revealed where his promises were fulfilled. Hallelujah. Glory to God. My. In this hour, a great light has appeared to us, like it did Paul, like it did them. And this light in the darkest of hours, it led us to Christ. Amen. Listen, I give my testimony. I had a need to meet this Jesus Christ. Listen, I come out of the world. I didn't come out of a church. Listen, when I started looking for Christ, amen, where I wanted to find this one that was dealing my life, I visited churches. I visited different places. You know what I found? The same thing the Magi did. You go to a nominal church and the star disappears. There's no leadership there. There's no light there. Well, where is he? Well, we don't know. Let's go look it up. They've got no idea. Hey, man, you know what I found out? Why would you seek the living among the dead? Hey, man, you go look in this nominal group, you go look in this creed, and you go look in this dogma, there's no light there. You can read scriptures, you can try to figure it out, but when you come out of all that nonsense, when you come and you get out of all that, and you go after the Lord, the light appears once again. This message, I wasn't convinced into it, some men didn't talk me into it, the light led me to it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Listen, all these groups, they know where he should appear. But they couldn't tell you where he's at today. They knew where he should be born 2 years ago. Well, we know where he was born. But where is he at now? Well, we don't know. Try looking here. I don't want to try looking anywhere. I want him to lead me. Listen, he has led me. He brought me here. Listen, you're not here tonight because you just thought it'd be a good idea to show up. God brought you here tonight. God made a divine appointment before the foundation of the world for you to be here. And it's up to you whether you're going to receive it or not. You can walk away, you can persecute it, or you can rejoice. This is the one we were looking for. This is the one I've sought. This is the one whom my soul loves. I am my beloved's. My beloved is mine.
Amen.
Tell you what, when I recognized this message, when I recognized it was the word for my day, that it was eagle's food, I heard from my theophany. I didn't mope and pout about it. Oh, man, I got to obey this thing now. I got to do what God wants. No, I rejoice. I'm still rejoicing tonight. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter how dark it looks. I rejoice with exceeding great joy that God has blessed me with eyes to see. I didn't put that in me. God inspired that, just like he did the Magi. God did that in your life. God did that in my life. What does the star do? It tells you the time of his coming. They all looked for it, but we know the season of it. That's what the star's about. Now's the time. We know where. We know where to look for him. We know what. But the time was the thing they didn't know. Paul looked for it. John looked for it. But in this hour, a mighty angel has descended. Amen? In this hour, listen, John reads about it in the book of Revelation, the 22nd chapter. He falls to worship this angel that visits him. And the angel says, don't do it. I'm of your brethren. I'm of your servant, the prophet. If you love me, call me brother.
Amen.
What did the angel come to do? To testify. Now the time is at hand. It wasn't a time back there at the beginning. Amen. It was sealed up. John was told, seal this up. But at the end time, when the angel appears, don't seal up the sayings of the prophecy of this book. The time is at hand.
Amen.
We know the time. It's not sealed to us anymore. It's hidden from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Where's it hidden at? In you. Well, it's hidden in his word. Yeah, and you're the word made flesh. You're the one he's talking about. Listen, his word is more than just letters on a page tonight. It's been made flesh again, just like it was back there. That's what the star was about. The word was made flesh, and the star identified it. Well, praise the Lord. Listen, Brother Bram was out in the Ohio River one day. He was baptizing that 17th person. And when he did that, a great light descended upon him. What did that voice do? It identified the time. As John the Baptist foreran the first coming of Christ, so will your message forerun the second coming. It's the time for it. I love it. Because what's the newspaper say? Mystic star. I don't know who inspired the editor to put that. He could have said mystic light, mystic whatever, comet, mystic star appeared. Can I say this way? That's the same thing those magi saw. That's the same thing the Apostle Paul saw. Mystic star appears over minister baptized in the river. Declared the hour we're living in. Amen. You look at each star, even in the book of Revelation. Look in chapter 2, chapter 3. What's the purpose of the star? The star's not there to glorify the star. The star's there to point him behind the veil. To point him to the one they're speaking about, amen? It's the star that led you there, amen? There's no merit in the star itself. It's the one whose hand they were in. We have come to the provided place of worship. There's lots of places in the world today that call themselves houses of worship. Amen. But he said in the Old Testament, not every place that you worship is accepted, but the place that I put my name. He's not in the Methodist church. He's not in the Baptist church. He's not in the Presbyterian or the Pentecostal. He's in the group called by his name, Mrs. Jesus Christ. You are the provided place of worship. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When you go out this door tonight, you're not leaving the church. You are the church. You are the bride of Jesus Christ. You are the body of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, my. Right. People go to church. They're waiting to meet God. Listen, I brought them with me when I come in tonight. What are you talking about? He promised me. Now, I don't know how you feel about it tonight, but he made a promise to me. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. People that drag race. I preached about this years ago, drag race religion. Some people that drag into church and they race right out. Oh man, I gotta go to church again. Man, they're looking for an answer. Oh, if I could just, I just feel so dry. I'm so thirsty. Listen, I got a promise in the word. Jesus said, you drink this water. You listen to me tonight. You drink this water, you'll never thirst again. Amen. I don't get thirsty. I'm getting thirsty right now. I'm talking about it, actually. Spiritually now. See, that's what the woman at the well thought. Well, give me here. I drink this water. No, you don't recognize what you're the gift of God. If you knew who was talking, if you recognize the hour you were in, you'd be asking me for a drink. I'd give you living waters that you never thirst again. Listen, the bride of Jesus Christ tonight, she's not all dried up and crusty and waiting for some rain to fall. She's got a river of life coming out of her. Rivers. Listen, not a little trickler, not one of them sprinklers you get at McDonald's. You're driving by the drive-thru and it starts hitting your window. Like, man, can't they wait till I'm not here? Rivers of living water. Listen, I got more than I need tonight. You got more than you need. You say, oh, I feel dry. Speak to the rock. Don't smite the rock. Speak to it tonight. Some of you all spoke to the rock for a while. That's why you're all dried up. Oh, I wish I had some more living water. You need to speak to the rock. You need to get in your prayer closet. You need to lift your hands to God. You need to say, thank you, Jesus. You're in my boat tonight. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. God has not forsaken us.
Amen.
We have seen a star. Listen, I talked about it a few minutes ago. These guys, they set up these camels, and they go. Listen, it was not just a hop, skip, and a jump. Amen. It wasn't like they were going down to Walmart to pick up their order like we go across town. Amen. This is a commitment. It said, we're going to go 2 miles or two years each way. Amen. This wasn't just a whim. It wasn't just I felt like it. they set themselves to do this. Amen? They didn't just run down to... Listen, they're about as far away as you could be in the world at that time, as far as the civilized part of the world. That's about as far away as they could get. I mean, you couldn't get a whole lot further from them. And yet that's how far they traveled, because they wanted to see the one that the star was pointing them to. Amen? Brother Bram says this. Well, here we go. 1958, his wonders to perform. He said they straddled their camels, start on hundreds of miles of journey. It wasn't an overnight. It took them 2 years for them to get there, and some of us won't walk two city blocks to get to them. Some of us won't walk from the middle of the tabernacle to the altar to get him. Well, the weather was bad. Well, the weather was nice. It's too loud. It's too quiet. Excuses, excuses. You hear them every day. You imagine they sit out there and they're going for about 3 weeks. Oh, man, it's starting to rain. Let's head back. Oh, it's starting to get balmy out. It's just too dark out. Amen. Listen, when they committed to it, they went 2 years. We'll talk about dedication. Well, I'm dedicated. These guys were dedicated. And they didn't have half of what you got today. Listen, when these men wanted to get to Jesus, they found a way. When that woman with the blood issue wanted to get to Jesus, she found a way. Amen. Can I just say that? When you want to, listen, praise the Lord. I work with people. I used to be this way myself. Listen, I work with people. They didn't have enough gas. I was a manager at a restaurant, and they'd call me up like, well, listen, I don't have enough money for gas to get to work. Can somebody pick me up? I'm going to be late. I'm going to have to walk. You know, I don't have enough money. And they'd be sitting there work, man, I'm going to get a tattoo this Friday. I'm going to get all tattooed up. I'm going to go to this rock concert. I'm like, man, you didn't have money for gas. But you got money to go do whatever else you want. Listen, when I was a sinner, if I wanted to go to a concert, well, listen, I had to work all day. I had to do this. Listen, when you want to do something bad enough, you'll make a way to get there. Amen. You could be running on 24 hours without sleeping and not a dime in your pocket, but if you want to smoke a cigarette, you'll find a cigarette somewhere. You'll find a way to get to that rock concert. You'll find a way. When you want something bad enough, you'll find a way. You'll beg, borrow, or steal to get what you want. The problem is not that he's too far away. The problem is, how bad do we want it tonight? Well, I know I'd be happy if the Lord would bless me. You got the wrong attitude. Amen. Listen, when Jacob got down and he wrestled with that angel, he meant business. My, my. Amen. See, that's what happens. We get sick. You know what we do? We'll get on Google and we'll look up our symptoms. I've got ovarian cancer. And I'm like, what? You're a guy. Of course, nowadays. You know what I mean? Oh, this is the same thing. Not quite. There's a reason they go to school. Of course, some of them aren't even that great either. But we'll Google our symptoms. We'll get on the phone. We'll call everybody. I got this problem. Amen. Or we could go to him. Let me say this one. We could go to him. You know how people are? Listen, well, praise the Lord. I'll just go here for a second. I'm going to throw you a bone here. Amen. You know how people are, they get sick. Well, the pastor never come, and he never prayed for me, and he don't care about me. Well, the Bible says you're supposed to call for the elders. You do something. You feel so sick, you get up. Get on the phone. You'll call everybody and complain about him when he don't show up, but you won't call him. You won't call on the Lord. You'll call everybody else because you're fighting mad about it. See, you want to be upset about it more than you want to heal. That's why you'll go out of your way. Oh, glory to God. Listen, you want something bad enough? When you were a sinner, listen to me now, when you were a sinner and you want something bad enough, you found a way.
That's right.
You'll make a way.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth, amen. You know how it is. Listen, I get it. I'm a little older now. It gets dark about 5 o'clock. You're like, well, time for bed. It's true, isn't it? But you know what? I had plenty of energy when I was young, and I wanted to go do this. I'm going to go to this party, and I'm this, and me, that. I'll tell you what, if Brother Eric called me, I'm expecting him to do it here soon. Said, I got $1 million for you, brother. If it's 8 o'clock at night, I'll make it to his house. hold me to that one. You know what I mean? I'll find a way. Yeah. Well, listen, supper. I'll listen, you can keep supper. I'm leaving. Yeah.
Amen.
When you want it bad enough, you'll do whatever it takes to get there. Amen. That's what these men did. They and their forefathers and their forefathers' forefathers, they waited 473 years or 483 years or whatever it was for this. And when they saw it was the time, we're not going to miss our opportunity. Listen, when the church world should have recognized the promise of Malachi 4, Luke 17, 30, Revelation 10, 7. Listen, this is the blessed hope of the church, the scripture says. They should have recognized it, but they didn't because they weren't looking for it. They were looking to build a bigger building, looking to get more people in their building or be a better group of people. They weren't looking for it. They just wanted to be like everybody else. Amen.
Amen.
We are overcomers. You know what that means? Listen, too many people that sit there in church are just waiting for the blessing to fall into their lap. Listen, you've got to speak the word. Some of us won't even speak the word.
Amen.
All right, Moses, why are you crying to me? Speak the word. Well, do I have to? You've got enough breath. You've got enough strength in your voice to complain, but not enough to speak the word?
Amen.
Something's wrong. If you've got enough breath in your body to complain, you've got enough to speak the word. You've got enough to praise God. You've got enough to go forward.
Yes.
It's all about how you want to handle it, amen?
Amen?
If you want it bad enough, you'll find a way.
Right.
Listen, you don't even have to find the way. God made the way.
Amen.
You just have to get to it.
Yes.
Listen, the kingdom of God, John said, it suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Listen, everybody wants what's in this kingdom. Everybody, listen, there's not a person here that likes being, well, probably not, if you're mentally stable. There's not a person in the world tonight that wants to be sick. Everybody wants to be healed. Sinners want to be healed, but they don't want to go the way God ordained it.
Amen.
They don't want to follow God's ordained path for it. Amen?
Amen. That's right.
Brother Bram, talk about that little chick and that egg. Amen? Can I say it this way? You're not little eaglets tonight. You're eaglets. You're not chickens. He's got to peck out of that shell, because if you break it out of there for him, he won't have the strength to survive. He's got to press through, amen? He's got to make a commitment. He's got to go all the way, amen? Some of us tonight, we're waiting for a breakthrough, and God's waiting for you to make the breakthrough.
Yeah.
Listen, Israel, when they were in the wilderness, they were waiting on God to show up, and Brother Bram said God was waiting on them to believe the word. Some of us have been waiting on God a long time, and God's sitting there going, I'm tired of waiting on you.
Amen.
Get up and speak the word.
Amen.
Be what I ordained you to be all along.
Amen.
You're better than this. You're better than where you're at tonight.
Amen.
There's more. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
You listen, God says, I say this a lot, God has spoken things about your life that you will not speak about your life. You're afraid to say it, amen? God says things about you don't even know about, amen? God said things about Job. Job didn't know about himself. He boasted to the devil about Job, and Job said, oh, I got a bunch of problems. God's bragging on you tonight, and you don't even know it. God wants to manifest things in your life that you don't believe about you, but he believes it, and he wants to bring it to pass. And if he's going to bring you 2 years, 2,000 miles, 2,000 years, he will inspire. He will bring you that place. Amen. Because someone has to fulfill the word. When the people in Jerusalem wouldn't do it. When religion wouldn't do it. When they couldn't even see the star, but God found somebody. Said, somebody's going to fulfill this word. If I have to go to the furthest ends of the earth. If I have to go somewhere as low as Fairborn, Ohio. It doesn't matter. He reached way down. Amen. Listen, you might not have been that bad, but I know me. I was the chief of sinners. I was the lowest of the low. But he found a way. He made a way when there was no way. I ask you how bad you want it. Let me say this. How bad did he want it? Think about what he left to come and get you. He left glory. He left an innumerable company of angels. He left a pain-free environment. He left heartaches, all these things he didn't have to ever deal with. He come down and dealt with all the things that we deal with. And then on top of that, he died for us. He died a death like no man has ever died. You think you had to give up a lot to get to him, but you didn't. He gave up a lot to come to you.
Come on!
No, sir. Thank you, brother. I need the help. I need all the help I can get. Brother Bram says this. This is the great shining light, 1957. What does the star mean to us today, friend? It's a good question. Daniel gives us the answer. Daniel 12:3 said, those that are wise, he that hath wisdom, let him hear. Those that are wise and know their God shall shine as the firmaments of the heaven, and those that turn many to righteousness shall shine as the stars forever and ever. What are we today then? We are stars. Now listen, you might not ever be a rock star or a movie star or a whatever kind of star, influencer, or whatever, but listen, you're a star in glory.
Amen.
Say, well, they were stars. Yeah, but so are we.
Yeah.
Every born-again Christian is a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, a star to reflect the power and holiness of the Lord Jesus, to reflect him in his life, to perfect him in his speech, to perfect him in his healing, his power, to perfect him in the resurrection, to reflect him in every way that he was reflected to us by God the Father. We are stars. Watch, what kind of star should we be? He said, this star was not guided by its own power. It was guided by the celestial powers of Almighty God. Yes. If we're ever going to reflect sinners to Christ, we've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Right. Romans 8:1 says, there's now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we're going to be a star to reflect the light of Christ to bring sinners in, we've got to be guided by the Holy Spirit. We cannot be an ordinary.
Amen.
We have to be unusual. We cannot be usual because God's people are a peculiar people.
Yes.
Now let me just qualify that. Brother Bram says you don't try to make yourself odd. I've been to plenty of people in church like that. So. I'm not trying to be odd. You just are.
Amen.
Listen, I preached a sermon years ago and I'm not going to preach it right now, but I preached about the ordinary Christian. You know what's funny? There is no such thing. That was, man, I saved you 45 minutes. You were born by a supernatural God. You have inherited a supernatural power. You have his righteousness. You have his holiness. The lowest body part of the body of Christ is still greater. Listen, you might have been born again 5 minutes ago. The lowest, weakest, most humble Christian is still greater than the biggest, strongest, most powerful devil, than the greatest nation. There's nothing ordinary about your life. Your life has been guided from the very beginning when you didn't even realize it by the supernatural. There's nothing ordinary about you. The ordinary Christian is a lie of the devil. There's no such thing.
Amen.
We're unusual. That's okay. Although peculiar, yet the star was brilliant. Not brilliant in world's education, world's affair, but brilliant as a sacrifice before the Lord. He says, you're a star. Every Christian's a star to guide the lost, to guide the weary, the foot of the traveler, to those who are seeking. The star cannot be guided by itself. It must be led by the Spirit. It must reflect the brilliancy of God in its life to abstain from the things of the world, to live godly and soberly in this present life. It must reflect the light of that great one that shines. What are we to do then? Rise.
Yes.
And shine.
Amen.
The light of God to the dying in depth darkness of the world. We reflect and shine the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrecting power. As he is yesterday, so he is today.
Yes.
Amen.
He says, remember the star when it finishes course? It takes no honor. The star just brought the men to their destination. And showed them the perfect light. Think about that now. The star was not the perfect light. The one that it led them to was the perfect light.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, I know that we're living the Bible says we live in perilous times. There's chaos in the world. Well, there's chaos then too, amen? But these men, they traveled to see Jesus because they saw the light. They found a reason to rejoice. Amen. So we're stars. Again, like I said, we're not rock stars. Amen. You think about God himself. He spoke to Abraham one night and said, look up on all these stars. That's how your seed's going to be. Amen. Amen. Listen, we are stars in the kingdom of God, and this is our breakout role. This is the role that we're going to be known for, amen? They're going to look back over the time, through the curtain of time and say, you're one of the ones that made it out of the worst age that ever was, the most deceiving time. How could you do it?
Amen.
It's the grace of God.
Amen.
The star. Can I say it this way? The capstone has descended with cries of grace. Grace. Listen, I know, I don't know if we talked about this, I was thinking about this earlier. I know it's a harder time than ever before to overcome, but you've got better equipment than ever before, amen? You've got more power, you've got a greater revelation, you've got more than what it takes tonight, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is not the time to give up, this is your time to shine. Listen, men don't light a light to hide it under a bushel. They set it on a hill. And that's exactly where we're going.
Amen.
Listen, it doesn't matter how dark it gets. The smallest light pushes back all the darkness. So don't ever look at yourself and say, well, I'm just insignificant. I'm not important. These men seemed insignificant to the people in Jerusalem till they were gone.
Amen.
Then Herod got mad. Where'd they go? Listen, by the time the world realizes how important you are, you're going to be gone. You can call me all kinds of names. You can call me a fanatic. You can call me a holy roller. But when he comes, you can call me gone. Don't matter what else you have to call me. Amen. Aren't you thankful for what he's done tonight? Let's rise and shine tonight. Amen. Let's just praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's be determined tonight. Let's not be discouraged. Amen. We have seen his star. We have come to worship him. Now think about that now, as the musicians would come. We've come to worship him. Well, we're all worshiping the Lord Jesus. Ah, but he desires the worshipers to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. That's the kind he seeks to worship him. Amen. So who's the real worshiper anyway? Amen. It's us tonight. Amen. Give me the key of F. I saw the light.
Amen.
Let's sing that chorus tonight, amen. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more in night. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside. Oh, praise the Lord. Give me that first verse. Oh, I wandered so aimless. Life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw the light. Oh, yes. I saw the light. Oh, no more in darkness. No more in night. Now I'm so happy. Oh, yes, oh, praise the Lord. I saw the light. Oh, I was a fool to wander and stray. For straight is the gate and narrow the way. But now I have traded the wrong for the right. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw the light. Oh, no more. Hallelujah. Now I'm so happy. Oh, praise the Lord. One more time. Oh, I saw the light. I saw the, oh, no more. Hallelujah.
No sorrow inside. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Well, I saw the light. I saw the light. No more in darkness. No more at night. Now I'm so happy. Sorrow inside. Oh, praise the Lord. I saw the light. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Praise the Lord. I saw the light. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now I tell you, praise the Lord. I saw the light. Can you say that honestly yourself tonight, that you saw the light? It came. The star came in our day. Oh, my. You know, speaking of stars and things like that, you know, we quote William Branham and we quote different people. We quote each other and things. And there's a quote I run across the other day, Billy Graham, okay? And anyways, when you were talking earlier about here's the tallest tree, and you know what I'm talking about, that you said, and how that you're so boastful and so tall, but you'll be the first to fall. And Billy Graham said, what is the use of being famous on earth when heaven doesn't even know your name? You know, can you imagine that? Heaven don't even know your name. So what good's it do to profit the world and lose your soul? You know, what does it profit you to gain the world, singular, and lose your soul that's worth 10,000? I'm a wheeler dealer, and I'm telling you, I'll take the 10,000 worlds. I'll trade you that for the one. Man, the devil thinks we're so dumb, you know, but we're better than him on our worst day. You know, this is heaven to the sinner. This is hell to us. This is going to come to an end for us. So, boy, I tell you. But just like a blind man, when my dad gave me back my sight, my mom, no, when God gave me my sight, you can't go on your dad and mom's coattail. You have to make it. It's between, I heard a preacher on the radio, that's how old I am on the radio, you know, working back in the factory. And I heard this preacher every day. They allowed us on our forklifts to plug in radios. So I built myself a boom box, you know, and the guy thought, man, he's going to be cranking. But they heard William Branham. They heard preachers. They heard all kinds of things off my radio. And but I was the guy that back in the factory, oh, I was playing it to where I could hear it. You know, Southern gospel and preaching mainly. And whenever people would come up, I'd turn it down a little bit. And sometimes, and the reason I would, instead of crank it up, well, I'm going to save you. You're going to hear what this preacher. No, listen, I learned when I become an adult and become a dad, I can be talking like this. Hey, come here, Jordan, take out the trash. Hey, clean up your room, Caitlin. Hey, they wouldn't hear what I said. But when I'd say, hey, did you? And I start to, what'd you say, Dad? I heard what you said. So the lower I talked, the more they would listen. So I'd turn that radio down a little bit, and they would ask me, hey, Covey, what are you listening to? Well, let me tell you, we got a 15-minute break here, you know? And so, but I heard this preacher every day on the radio. He was just a, I don't even know his name, but he was just a regular preacher on the radio. And he'd preach a few really good things, and preach a different topic every day, sometimes on the family, sometimes on salvation, sometimes on whatever. But he always ended it with the same thing. He said, just remember, people out there in radio land, that was me. He said, it's not between you and whoever, it's between you and God. It settles, it's between you and God.
when you get in your closet to pray, it's between you and God. Your clothes ain't going to save you. You know, they might save you from being embarrassed, you know, but I tell you, but no, God is God, and he doesn't change. See if I had another note here or anything. There's so much. You know how you can preach after they preach? I tell you, you got that prayer cloth, brother, on you. Why don't you come on up? You preacher brothers, if you'd come up and let's pray. Now, I normally don't do this, but the brother's not here, and I'm going to ask everybody to pray over this, but to where you know how to pray, this brother's 48 years old. His daughter, she was 15 years old, just young, 15, and he was telling me the other day, he said, Brother Eric, he said, I went in to wake her up from school, and I knocked on her door, and she wouldn't answer, and he said, sometimes she plays tricks and stuff, you know, and then he said, so I just opened the door, and he said she was sitting on her bed, you know, just like Indian style, and with her phone, you know, right there between her legs there, and like she'd been looking down, talking on the phone, and her head was down, and he said, honey, get up, you got to go to school, and he finally, she wouldn't listen, and he thought she was joking, and he went over and said, wake up, and he said, she was cold as ice, she was gone. He said, the only thing good out of that was that before she went to bed, she came in and she said, Dad, I love you. I love you, and I'll see you in the morning. And one day, we'll see you in the morning, just inside that eastern gate. And so, you know, when you, and it was an overdose and things like that, and you know, your mind always goes to the worst. But how can I judge that? I can't judge that. I can't put that girl in hell, and I can't put her in heaven. But God can put her in heaven. Oh, yeah. You know, he knows the very last moment or the very last thought that went through her head. Right. Now, remember, the thief on the cross, he wasn't baptized. He didn't speak in tongues. He didn't even go to church. He probably never even heard of this man, right. You know. But he was in paradise that very day. Yeah. He wasn't long-suffering. He wasn't all that. And to make it, he made it. Because you want to say he was in the right place at the right time, but he was ordained to be there, hanging on that cross. You know why? Because his story was in the Bible, and it was already written before the foundation of the world. So the only reason I tell you that is just to know how to pray. And we're going to, let's just get down here, I guess. And those of you in this church that has faith, that honestly has faith, that believe, if you could just kind of gather up around here, and maybe you sisters grab hands, and you brothers, and this man, his name is Mike Long, and you know, he calls me, and I take the time, because I knew Jesus, he took the time for me, you know.
Let's pray. Father, we are just mindful tonight that you're present with us, Lord. You have allowed us to be aware of this, Lord. I think of a man like the Apostle Paul. He looked back in the scripture, and as a prophet would take his staff and give it to his servant, Lord. That servant had no righteousness of his own, but he was bearing what the word had given him. Lord, tonight we are not doing this because we believe that we have some special virtue, but we know that we're a part of your word, the same word which declared that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from Paul, and many spirits were cast out, many were healed, and you're the same today, Lord. The Apostle Paul is not here tonight, but you are still here. And we just pray that you bless us now for this man, Mike, for this tragedy he's went through, Lord. None of us would ever want to go through something like that. We can't imagine tonight what it's like, but Lord, you know all about it. You are mindful of it. And Lord, you are able to take what the enemy intended for evil and turn it for good. I pray you just take this man. May you deliver. May you help him. May you raise him up as a testimony, Lord, that you are the same tonight. Lord, we join together, we touch and agree, we bind it on earth, believing you would bind it in heaven. We thank you now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you. I'll thank you for them prayers for him, and let's just see what God will do. Yes. Thank you. You know, just before I call Brother Nate up, I just got to say something. It's kind of was made public a little bit because a good friend of mine was preaching, and he said it in public in front of the audience for them to hear. If that's all right, if I tell it, brother, be fine. Yes. Okay. They're going to hear it. They'll be blessed by it. Did you see the gift tonight that was used up here? Did you get some answers to some questions and things? And don't you know a little bit more of who you are now than you knew before you came in here? I said that when Brother Ben was here last week, how I know good preaching, it brings me up higher, and it brings me up higher. Yes. And one day we're going to hear that last message, that last oomph to get us out of here.
Yes.
And tonight that was one good one right there that could just have got us out of here. Because he preached on, you know, we saw Brother Alex up here, but it wasn't him. It was the one pointing toward that. So it was the star that was preaching to us tonight. So anyways, the devil, he mentioned Job, but the devil would love to destroy Job. And I tell you what touched me tonight was whenever I'm a woe is me and down on me, and my dad might be down the flea market bragging on me saying, you should meet my son, Eric. He's this, he's that. Mom, oh, you got to meet my boy. He's just wonderful. And I'm like, man, I ain't worth nothing today. But yet somebody's out there believing that I am.
Right.
Who should believe more in you than you?
Amen.
I mean, you're the evidence that you see every day.
Right.
So anyway, the devil had come to our brother tonight and years ago, and he was saying how that nothing was working out. Everything he tried, everything just kept failing. Until it got him so down and so depressed that he was out laying in a field, was it, brother? Like out laying in a field. And he said he just was done. I'm spent. I can't do nothing right. Nothing's working out for me. He said, God, I don't even want my life no more. I don't even want my life no more. And he said something wonderful happened. He said, God came down to him and said, Alex, if you don't want your life, I do. I do. I'll take your life and I'll do great things with it. He did a great thing with his life tonight. I can't thank God enough for what he's done in that man's life. And I'm proud to call him my friend and my brother and part of the body.
Yes.
And that's how I feel about everybody. Don't let the devil lie to you. Whether it's watch your music, like we said earlier. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. That goes for us big kids, too. I've thought about paying for radio now. They've got the radio. I got a new van, and they give me a sample for 3 months. I listen to Billy Graham. It's constant. I listen to gospel music. I listened to Bing Crosby yesterday. You know, it has the Christmas station. But, you know, it don't have all these stupid commercials and stuff. And so anyway, it's just like, I don't know. Even if you got to pay for something good, pay for it. Because it's well worth the price. And, you know, if something's good, it's worth paying the price for. Doesn't that tell you how good you are? That God would pay the price for us.
Yeah, that's right.
My goodness, God is so good. Boy, you know, you hate to walk out of a place like this. And my brother, he used to say, well, he says a lot to people, he says, you know, we go to church there in Bluffton, and he said, what's that mile marker, Mike? 142. He said, if you could get in your car and drive to exit 142, and you would meet God there. Wouldn't you get in your car and go? And I believe that because I met mile marker 142, and I see a sweep go through that church all the time, and I know what the sweep is. But then I heard Brother Alex tonight say, hey, look, people are wanting to come to find Jesus at church. Well, I brought him with me, you know? So Jesus, he goes with us down that highway. And my brother said today, he was talking with Alex, he said, you know, Alex, everything me and my brother talk about heading to church, that preacher, he's reiterates everything we talked about all the way to church. And he said, you can watch us, we'll look over between our mom and dad and say, yeah, remember we said that and that and this. But no, God, he's been nothing but good to us. Amen. And if we can't give him our praise, we're not worth it. Uh-huh. We're the ones ungrateful brats, as spiritual brats we are. So I don't want to be ungrateful. I want to be so grateful that I'd be like Alex and say, God, I know you can do more with my life than I can. So, I don't know, like the wrestlers or the fighter guys, let's get it on. You know, let's fight. Let's fight. Let's get it on. And that devil loses. I think it's unfair fighting a fight when you know you're already going to win. But it's still good swinging. It's still fun to swing, you know. So, but God bless each and every one of you. I pray it brought you up higher. I pray that this message tonight blessed you. And I'm just going to call our brother up here. And shoo, boy, hard to walk away from this. He's going to get up here and he's going to feel what I'm feeling. And you may as well sit down. I tell you.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. We always deem it a treat when Brother Alex comes.
Amen.
And Brother Eric didn't tell me it was you coming. At first he didn't. It slipped out. Because he likes to surprise us. So he'll tell me, I got somebody I'm bringing Wednesday. And I was like, okay, who? And I don't even ask him who. Because I told him, I said, if you bring them, they're fine with me, you know. And so I don't normally even ask him who it is. And so I was talking to him the other day. And he accidentally let it slip. He said, yeah, now we got this going this week, and then next week we're having Brother Alex. And I go, whoa, wait a minute. So it's Brother Alex coming. I said, okay, I'll let him know. So I let the church. I know. So it was good. I appreciate you coming. And it's always good to have the Kobe boys here. And you don't usually see one without the other unless you're working overtime. Sometimes Micah's sneaking one out to you. But, you know, I appreciate y'all coming.
Amen. The brother that came with us tonight is a real good friend of ours, Derek.
God bless you, Derek. Amen. I'll tell you like I tell the Coveys, come anytime. You're welcome. And I don't really apologize, but I messed up on those Sunday night services. I didn't realize this until Monday. I was sitting in the chair, or Tuesday. I was sitting in my chair, and I told Clarice, I said, we got another Sunday. We could have had an extra Sunday night. But I said, I'm not going to change it since I've already said it. I'm not going to change it. So we won't have any more Sunday nights this year. We will start again next year. We've got the Christmas service, Christmas Eve services that we're going to have. And I'm going to have different ones, because we don't do Christmas songs a lot. But I thought that's going to be a service that we're going to do groups of Christmas songs or however they want to do it. And so it's going to be a little bit of a different service that day. I'm still going to preach.
Amen.
But, you know, a service ain't a service without preaching.
Right.
You can have a song fest, but when you get through, you're just as hungry as when you got there.
Right.
Like inviting you over and just giving you chips and dip. So we'll have services coming up. We've got New Year, so I'm excited about the end of the year.
Yes.
We are actually here.
Yeah.
And it's been an amazing year. This is my first year not working for the public. So it's been a very, very busy year. And I'm sure Kara, she has the slideshow that she does every year about the year's activities. And I had forgotten. I sent her pictures from when Clarice and I was in Carolina. I'd forgotten. I never even gave her any of those pictures. So I forgot we were there. But we've been busy this year. It's been a full year, but it's been a good year. We've had to send some before us, and they're waiting on us just on the other side of the veil. And so we've had to say goodbye to some this year, but you know, it's been a good year. It's been a busy year, and God's blessed us. So as we wrap things up, come prepared. I'm excited. I'm just that close to spilling the beans. I woke up the other morning, and my Christmas message hit me while it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. I woke up and I thought, oh, and I grabbed my phone and I put it on there so nobody touched my phone. But it's getting together. It's good. I'm excited. I'm ready to have that service. So it's going to be good as far as I'm concerned. If it makes you feel as good as it's making me feel, you'll be pleased. So God bless you. We're going to sing God is So Good, because He is. You know, He says He's got to do something He's already done enough. If He didn't do another thing, He's already been so good to us. And not only that, He's going to take us. We have followed that star, and He's going to take us right to where He is. And I'm thankful for that. So glad. So God has been good. And come back expecting, and we'll see what else God has in store for us this year. Amen. God bless you.
God is so good. Yes, God is so good. Oh, yes, God. It's so